I'm sure we've all heard stories of, read stories and heard stories of the Pachad of Elul. And you have true stories, these are not just Hasidish Baisalach. True stories of people who literally, when they would hear Shabbos Mevarchim Kodesh Elul in Shul, they'd go to Shul on Shabbos and they would announce just the word Elul. And people were literally crying and fainting, and just the thought of the coming of the Yom Noram was a lot to bear. And people were literally, you know, dropping in the aisles at the thought of Elul. And then, you know, more recent Svarim try to explain to us why we're so removed from that and why we're not at all trembling, and the fish in the sea used to be shaking, and all sorts of ma'asim like that. And the truth is, that's very much the impression that we all have when we think about the Yom Noram. We think about awesome days, scary days, days that shake us up in a lot of different ways. But at the same time, if you look carefully, and we're going to learn it al pi halacha with a little bit of machshava and chassidus at the end, these are days that be'etzem are days of simcha. And it's not only something that, you know, Rav Tzvi Meir made up in the Sichas Hischazkus a couple of years ago. This is something you find in classic sources. And it's a big sugya, the sugya of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. And it's subcategories. Subcategories being, should one fast on Rosh Hashanah? On the one hand, it's such a serious day of judgment, maybe fasting is a great idea. On the other hand, it's a day of simcha, so maybe it's usher to fast. And you have a range, it's an amazing range that you find in the Rishonim, in the early poskim. Everything from, there's a mitzvah to fast, to you're allowed to do a partial fast, to it's usher to fast. And we're going to focus specifically on the aspect of crying during these days. Is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur a time to cry? Or is it a time to celebrate? What should our posture be when we come to the davening of Rosh Hashanah? So the truth is, we already know in source number one, the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Truah. It's a day of Truah. Yom Truah Yelachem. U'mitargam minan, and the Gemara quotes the Targum, Yom Yevava Yehei Lachom. It's a day of Yevava. Okay, well, what's Yevava? Truah apparently means Yevava. What is the Yevava? Before the Gemara has a whole machlokas of how to interpret Yevava, what does the word simply mean? U'ksiv be'eme de sisra, ba'arach alon nishkafa, v'tiyabeib, Aim Sisra. The mother of Sisra was looking out the window, waiting for her son to return from war. V'tia Beiv. What does it mean, V'tia Beiv? She was crying. So you see the very definition of the shofar itself, Yom Truah Yelachem, Yom Yevava Yehelachon, is that the shofar evokes a feeling of crying. I don't want to use the word sadness, because we'll have to define if crying by definition means sadness. But it's a day of crying, and then the Gemara has a whole discussion exactly what does that sadness sound like? What does the crying sound like? Right? Is it the Shvarim? Is it the Trua? What we call Shvarim, what we call Trua. Again, the Torah only uses the term Trua, but we try to interpret it. Is it three short sounds? Is it long sounds? There's different ways that people cry. But the very mitzvah sayom, the shofar of the day, is defined as an instrument that emits a sound that is reminiscent of crying. Similarly, if you look in source number two, the Gemara again describing a whole discussion where the Mishnah has a whole arichos, different opinions. What type of shofar is the best shofar? Is the shofar from an aisle, which is bent, which is crooked, which seems to wrap itself? Is that the best type of shofar? Is a straight shofar, maybe something that comes from a goat, is that the ideal shofar? A big discussion. And then the Gemara has an explanation on Daf Chavav Amud Beis in source number two. Rosh Hashanah kama dechayif inchi daite tfei mali. One opinion is that on Rosh Hashanah we should use a curved horn. Why? Because in Rosh Hashanah, the more a person, kayif inchi, the more a person humbles himself, that the posture of Rosh Hashanah seems to be a person curled up within himself, a very intense type of posture. The more he can humble himself, the more he can submit himself, tvei mali, the better. And on Yom Kippur, kama the pashir inish daite tvei mali. The more a person straightens himself out, again, whatever exactly that means, we're not going to focus so much on Yom Kippur now, we're going to focus primarily on Rosh Hashanah, but we'll see our discussion definitely extends to Yom Kippur as well. But on Rosh Hashanah, the posture is one of kama dekayif inchi, the more a person submits himself. And therefore, the ideal shofar of Rosh Hashanah is not a straight horn, but one that's bent and one that's curled up, one that's scared to lift up its head. Kama dekayif inchi daite tfei mali, says Rashi in source number three. Kama dekayif inchi betilaso, the more a person humbles himself and bends himself over in his tefillah, ponov kvushin laretz, He's embarrassed. He's scared to lift up his head. His head is implanted in the ground. Tfeyadif, that's better. Mishum v'hayu eini v'libi sham. Hilkach Rosh Hashanah de l'tfilah. So therefore, the Rosh Hashanah shofar, which is to enhance the tfilah. V'lahaz kirakedas Yitzchak bra b'inan kafufin. The ideal horn for Rosh Hashanah, the ideal shofar of Rosh Hashanah, is a shofar that's kafuf. To take on the posture, to remind us of the whole expression of a person, the feeling we should have in Rosh Hashanah. A day where we're crying, and we're bent over, and we're humbled. That seems to be, from these two Gemaras, the feeling, the impression that we get when it comes to approaching the very etzem of the day, the shofar, the tefillah, which again is the centerpiece of the day. On the other hand, if you look in Navi, if you look in Tanakh, really in Ksuvim, if you look in Sefer Ezra Nechemya, the real name of the Sefer is Sefer Ezra, the Gemara actually says in Sanhedrin, that Nechemya was penalized, that the Sefer would not be called by his name. We call it by the two parts, Ezra and Nechemya. The Chida actually has an interesting explanation. The Chida says that all the years that the Sefer was called Ezra was enough to be a kapara for Nechemya, and that's why now we can call the Sefer Nechemya. As the Chida writes in one of his Svarim on Shas. Very, very interesting. Okay, but we usually refer to it. You open up an article, Tanakh, it's called Sefer Nechemya. But it's one Sefer, Ezra and Nechemya. And Ezra and Nechemya describes a lot of the return of the Jews during Bayis Sheni. And there were many Jews who had drifted very, very far away from Torah. And the people decided, we want to hear what's in the Torah. In the 8th parak of Nechemya, the people decided, we want to find out what the Torah is about. These people were married to non-Jews. And many of them separated from their wives with great Mesiras Nefesh. But they decided they wanted to have this big public Torah reading, which took place actually on Rosh Hashanah itself. Chazal identified these psukim as taking place on Rosh Hashanah. So what's the impression you get when the Gedolei Ador, Ezra, Sofer, Nechemya, when they turn to the people and they're teaching them Torah, and the people are feeling very humbled by learning the Torah that's so foreign to them, that they don't know anything about Torah. Vayomer Nechemya, hu et Yirshasa, that was either another name for him or as a title. The Ezra Kohen HaSofer v'alevim ha'mevinim esha'am, the Levim were explaining the Torah to the people. They turned and they said, l'chol ha'am, Hayom kadosh hu la'Hashem Elokeichem. Hayom, we know Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar says in Parshas Pinchas. Atem nitzavim Hayom. Hayom is always a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Iyo, Perak Aleph. Hayom is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. Hayom kadosh hu la'Hashem Elokeichem. Al tisablu v'al tivku. It's not a day of crying. It's not a day of mourning. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Tov. There's a simcha. Kivochim kol ha'am kisham es divrei Torah. The people, they're hearing Torah for the first time. It's totally foreign to them. And they break down in tears. They don't know what to make of it. They're embarrassed of their own lives. And Ezra and Nechemya say, you have to stop. It's totally inappropriate for the Tzura Sayom. This is a day of Simcha. It's Rosh Hashanah. Al tisavlu v'al tivku. Vayom alehem l'chu ichlu mashmanim. Go eat delicacies. Sumam sakim. Drink. Delicious drink. Sweet drinks, sweet beverages. V'shulchu manos le'enachol lo, and send gifts to those who don't have, who aren't prepared. Ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu, va'al te'atzevu, don't be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem, hi me'uzchem. Because the enjoyment of Hashem is your strength. It's a day of simcha. And it's totally inappropriate for you to be crying. So here you have a very different picture. You have people who seem to be engaging what the Gemara seems to describe as the ideal Rosh Hashanah service. People who are humbled, people who are crying, people who are making an honest cheshbon and nefesh. And immediately the response is, no, stop, stop, it's Rosh Hashanah, you can't cry in Rosh Hashanah. You can't be sad in Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because chedvas Hashem hi me'uzchem. So is this true? Is Rosh Hashanah, is there a din of simcha in Rosh Hashanah? Rav Weinberg always mentions, there's a famous Shagas Aryeh about this topic. Hey, what's the halach? Is there a din of simcha in Rosh Hashanah? Is Rosh Hashanah a day of simcha? Zman simcha seinu. Certainly Sukkot says simcha. Pesach has simcha. Shavuos has simcha. Right? Do we view Rosh Hashanah as a typical regel? You don't have a mitzvah aliyah the regel. There's obvious differences. It is a yom din. But is there an aspect of simcha? Halachically speaking, do we view Rosh Hashanah as a day of simcha? So if you look in the writings of the Gaonim, and the Rush, and Rosh Hashanah quotes from some of the Gaonim in a related topic, in the Shiltos of Rav Achaigo. The Shiltos was an early work, I guess you could maybe describe it as one of the earliest works of Shilos and Tshuvos. Questions that were raised of the Gaonim. It's not written in a necessarily classic Shilos and Tshuvos fashion. But in Parshas Chayesara, the Rav Achaigo discusses the question of how do we view Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur legabe avelus. Meaning we know that if a person starts this in Shiva, I had a friend who lost his father, Mamish, on Erev Pesach. They went to the cemetery, they did the Kfura, he came back, they sat Shiva for an hour, and that was it. Shiva was over. Because the Yom Tov comes and cancels Pesach, cancels the Shiva. Right? So the Yom Tovim, they have the ability, the Regalim have the ability to cancel the Yom Tov. Shabbos, on the other hand, as much as Shabbos is also a day of, certainly of Oneg, not so much Simcha as we'll say, but a day of Oneg, Shabbos obviously does not cancel Shiva. That doesn't mean that we practice Shiva in the normal fashion on Shabbos. We don't have outward signs of avelus on Shabbos. But Shabbos doesn't cancel Shiva. Some of the Rishonim give a very basic svar, because you can never have Shiva if Shabbos would cancel, right? Meaning, even in the best case scenario, you started sitting Shiva on Shabbos, you'll never get a full 7 days. So it can't be, this basic svar, that's based on the Mishnah, the Sechus Mori Kotlet, it can't be that Shabbos cancels Shiva. So what do you do with other Yom Tov? Right, what do you do with other Yom Tov? Does Purim cancel Shiva? How about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Would Rosh Hashanah, if someone started sitting Shiva right before Rosh Hashanah, would Rosh Hashanah cancel? Would Rosh Hashanah cancel Shiva? So this was the question that was raised and discussed by the Gaonim in source number 5. Baram Tzarich, we need to examine the following. Atzeres Bizman Hazeh, what about Shavuos Bizman Hazeh? Why is Shavuos different Bizman Hazeh? Because Bizman Hazeh, Shavuos is only one day. Well, on the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos was also only one day. Yeah, but the karbanos of Shavuos could be brought, if I didn't bring the karban on time for Shavuos, I was given tashlum and kol shiva. I had a full 7 days to make it up. And therefore there's an expanded kedusha of Shavuos that goes beyond Shavuos. But bizman hazeh, Shavuos is one day. So maybe Shavuos should be treated like Shabbos. But just like Shabbos doesn't cancel shiva, maybe Shavuos shouldn't cancel shiva. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also, they're smaller in time, they're shorter Yom Tovim. So maybe they shouldn't cancel Shiva. So says the Bachaibon, Atzeres Bizman Hazeh Diyom Echad Hu, Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim, Nami Mavat L'Gzeira Shiva. Should we say that Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur should also cancel Shiva? After all, they are Yom Tovim. Ilo, or maybe not. Mi Amrina, what's the Svari? Look, he goes through it in the second line. Mi Amrina, Regal Davi Shiva Mavat L'Gzeira Shiva. Maybe a Yom Tov of 7 days can cancel Shiva, the Avelis of 7 days. Avalhani Dechad Yoma Inan Kashabis Damu, but these which are only one day. Even Rosh Hashanah, which is 2 days, is Kiyoma Arichta, it's one long day, halachically. We view it as one long Kedusha Sayom, in a sense. And therefore, maybe it's like Shabbos, and it shouldn't cancel Shiva. O Dilma, or maybe you could say the following. Look carefully in the fourth line, third line. Shabbos onegu dichsivbe. Shabbos doesn't have the power to cancel Shiva because Shabbos only has an aspect of oneg. Obviously, kavod also. Right? But simcha is not classically associated with Shabbos, although there are sources, the Yerushalmi and Megillah, the Tshuva Sarash. There are sources that indicate there might be an aspect of simcha. There's a medrash that says Yom Simchaschem is a reference to Shabbos. There are sources in Chazal that indicate that Shabbos has simcha. But classically, we don't associate Shabbos with simcha. Look what he says, where it's bolded. Aval hani. But these, what are these? Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Kevin disbu simcha kiragolimdam. Maybe you could say about Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah absolutely has an aspect of simcha. As Nehemiah told the people, it's not a day for crying. It's a day for celebrating. Chedvas Hashem himuuzchem. The enjoyment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your strength. So therefore, maybe it should be treated like a regular and have the power to cancel the Shiva. Umafsikin, and how do we paskin? Says the Shiltos. Quotes a Chazal, Tashma, Ditan, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer. Miyom Shechar, Beis HaMikdash, Asteres Keshabbis. Rabbi Eliezer rules that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Shavuos is only one day, it's treated like Shabbos. My time, the Lekka Re'iyah, the Chagigah, the Lekka Tashlumi Kol Shiva. Because it's a one day Yom Tov, there's no Karbanos. There's no makeup period for the Karbanos. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Kiragalim. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are a day of Simcha. And they're treated like a Yom Tov, they're treated like a regal. My time, Kaivin, the Hukshu, Kolam, Adam, Kulam, Zebazeh. Since all the Yom Tovim are linked in the Psukim, in the Torah, as one unit, Afilu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, all the more so Kol Shekein Atzeres Dikri Regel, V'Ikri Chag, V'Isbe Simcha. So certainly there's no question Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Atzeres are treated like Regalim. Amr of Yidl Bar Menashe, Amr Shmua, Halacha Kerem Gamliel. So what do you see? We paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, that Rosh Hashanah, that Yom Kippur, that Shavuos, they all have the ability to cancel Shiva. But again, what do you see clearly from the opinion of the Shiltos? In the svara of the Shiltos, the driving force behind Rosh Hashanah having the ability to cancel Shiva is the fact that it's a day of Simcha. It's a day of great Simcha. So what would you say is lacking in Rosh Hashanah? If it's a day of such great Simcha, so what's obviously lacking from the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah?
Halal.
If it's such a great day of Simcha, then just like we say Halal and Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, even Purim is, the Gemara acknowledges on Daf Yudal and Maseches Megillah, is the day of Halal, if not for the Megillah replacing the Halal. Normally a Yom Tov comes with Halal. So where's Halal? If it's a day of Simcha, where's the Halal? So this is a famous Gemara in Maseches Erechin, Arachin, maybe a better way to pronounce it, in Daf Yudal Beis, in source number 6, where the Gemara raises this question. The Gemara says, if Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are such special days, so where's the Halal? And the Gemara doesn't highlight simple. Look carefully in the first line in source 6. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. De'ikru moed ve'ikdish ba'asiyas malach halema. The Gemara says, based on the previous Gemara, where it makes, where it defines some of the characteristics of a day, how do you know if a day is worthy of challah? How do you figure out if a day is worthy of challah? So, one of the things we're looking for is that the Torah refers to it as a moed, or as a chag. Perhaps that there's an Isser Asiyas Malacha, that there's a prohibition to do work on those days. Those are both true about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is also called Chag. The Chesel Yom Chageinu, it's referred to as Chag. Interesting, we don't refer to it as a Chag. In the Tefillah, some of the Sifrei Drush, I saw the Beis Aaron from the Potek Rav, discusses why don't we call Rosh Hashanah Chag, why don't we highlight the Chag aspect of Rosh Hashanah. But there's no question, it's called a Moed, it's called a Chag, there's an Isser Asiyas Malacha. So it's just like Pesach, it's just like Sukkot, it's just like Shavuos. What happened to Halal? So the Gemara gives an interesting Svar. Mishum de Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba gave us a Svarah as to why we don't say Halal on Rosh Hashanah. The Amr Rabbi Abba. Amr Malachi Yasharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shalom. This was the question that we're raising now, is the question the angels asked the Kadosh Baruch. The angels came to the Kadosh Baruch and said, we looked over the Shulchan Aruch, we watched the practices of Klal Yisrael, and something is very noticeably missing. If it's a day of Simcha, if Chedvas Hashem Himu Uzchem, it's a day of great enjoyment, so how could it be that on such a chashuv day, to praise, to sing Shiros V'Tishbachos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, how could such an aspect be lacking in the day? Amar Lahan, this is what Hashem responded to the angels, as taught to us by Rabbi Abba. Where Rabbi Abba heard this conversation, I'm not sure. It's always a good question, you read these type of Gemara. How did Rabbi Abba know this? But okay, this is the tradition. Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Adin, V'Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, Yisrael Shir Lefanai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to the angels. Angels, for you, maybe this is not such a scary day, even though in the davening we do highlight the angels also tremble in Rosh Hashanah, which other svarim talk about. What are the angels afraid of on Rosh Hashanah? But be that as it may, right? You, the angels, might look at it and say, Rosh Hashanah is a day, it's a great celebration in Shemayim. For the typical person, for the typical Jew on planet Earth, it's not such a simcha. Why is it not such a simcha? Because Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mesim, the books of life and death are open before me, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you expect them to sing Shira. That confident, the Jewish people are not. So again, we're starting to see there's this duality to the day. On the one hand, it's a day of celebration. It's not a time for crying. Go eat a festive meal. On the other hand, maybe Hallel is already pushing it. Maybe that's expressing too much confidence in the day. That's a balance that we have to strike. So what is it about Hallel that sort of crosses that line? Because again, if you stop and you think about it, there are many piyutim, there are many shiros v'tishbachos that we sing throughout the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we sing them in a festive niggun. So why is it that Hallel all of a sudden becomes like this very controversial thing? That Hashem says to the angels, no, that's too much. That's already crossing the line. So if you look in the Megray Kodesh by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who's the Rav of Yerushalayim, in the volume on the Yom Nora, so he quotes from the Brisker Rav, in the name of Rav Chaim Brisker, who says that, he raises this question. He says, I don't understand. Hallel's off limits, but what about every other parak of Tehillim that we're going to recite as part of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? What about all the other special praises that we put into the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Dan, all the piyutim that sing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is it about Hallel that becomes, that becomes controversial when it comes to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way? So he says in the third line, V'tiritz, didin amiras Hallel shani. Hallel's different. This is what Chaim Brisker said. And again, it requires further clarification, but here's his Hagdara, here's his description and definition of how Hallel works. For Hallel, ba'inan chihei simcha shleima. You need complete simcha. Complete simcha. With Rosh Hashanah she'ina simcha shleima in mukhshar lomar Hallel. Aval shar shiros ne'amarim afka she'ina simcha b'shleimus. You don't need complete simcha to say many praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's something inherent about the Hallel, the structure of the Hallel. It's a unique type of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that only a person who finds himself in a state of absolute simcha is able to recite such tefillahs. This is what Rav Chaim Brisker said. So therefore we understand very well that Rosh Hashanah, there's no question it's a day of simcha. But as we've seen already, the simcha of Rosh Hashanah is somewhat tempered. It's not an all-out simcha. It's a simcha that Halacha tells us is somewhat restrained. And I saw that many Achronim bring an interesting diuk in the Rambam. I'm surprised that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank didn't bring this, but many bring it. Many bring it. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah, where he describes the days in which we say Hallel, he describes there are 18 days in which the Jewish people recite the full Hallel, and he describes it's a din derabanan, it's midivrei sofrim. And then the Rambam writes where it's bolded, Aval Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim, which again, he's paraphrasing, he got this from the Gemara. But look how the Rambam, there's two words that the Rambam uses that are very critical. The Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur ain't ben Hallel. Lefi shehein yimei tshuva v'yir upachar. Okay, that's the Gemara. Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason are open before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yimei, look what he says, simcha yisera. So a lot of Achronim look to the words of the Rambam and say, ah, that's what the Rambam is saying here. Yes, ein achanami. The Rambam's not denying that Rosh Hashanah is a day of simcha. There's no question it's a day of simcha. But it's a simcha that's not sholi, like Rav Chaim Brisker said. It's a day where simcha, yes, simcha yisera, no. Too much simcha is already off limits, and therefore we have to somehow reflect that in the Tfilas Hayom by refraining from the recitation of Hallel. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin on this matter? Halacha l'maisa, what should, before we get to cry, which again is our main topic, but what sort of the tzura, again, of Rosh Hashanah, what should the day look like? So, do we have a festive meal? Do we follow, like it says in Ksum, like it says in Sefer Ezra Nechemiah, that it should be a day of celebration of a festive meal? There's no question that it is. Again, there's a discussion in the Rishonim about fasting, one who wants to fast on Rosh Hashanah. But the Pesach in the Shulchan Aruch, in Tavkuf Tzadi Zayin, in source number 9, Ochlim v'shosim u'smeichim. Rosh Hashanah is a day where we eat, and we drink, and we rejoice. V'ein mis'anin b'Rosh Hashanah v'lo b'Shavah Shuvah. It's not a day, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a day intended for fasting. Amnam. However, and here's where the Shulchan Aruch again shows that the simcha has to be restrained. V'yochlu kol svam, a person shouldn't eat kedei svia. A person shouldn't eat to the point that he's fully satiated. He should hold back a little bit. I was thinking this year, maybe a good minhag to have on Rosh Hashanah is not to have dessert on Rosh Hashanah. No dessert on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, you have your apple and your honey, but no dessert on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe that's already like that. Already is an atmosphere of simcha yisera. You'll save an extra dessert on, you know, for Sukkot or whatever. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying here. A person has to hold back a little bit. Why? Why do I have to be careful? As much as there's a chi of simcha, why do I have to be so careful? That I shouldn't come to Kalis Rosh. That even after davening, as I'm sitting down to lunch, and I've worked hard all morning, I've davened, I put in my ishtadlus, I did everything I could to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for ksiva v'chsima tova. At the same time, I have to remind myself that the whole day is a day of pachad, and the whole day is a day of din, and the whole day is a day where yiras Hashem al paneim, where a person has to have a sense of awe and trepidation that's visible on his face. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in source 10, Ratzolomar, Afshu Yom HaDin. Mishnah Berurah says, yes, there's no question, despite the fact that it's Yom HaDin, we call Makom Mitzvah Shal V'samachta B'chagecha Shayach Gambo. It is still a day where we would apply the Torah's principle of V'samachta B'chagecha. Like I told you, Rosh Hashanah is called the Chag. Shagamu B'chlal Chag, Yitachsiv Tiku B'chol HaShofar L'chesed L'yom Chageinu. And he quotes the Pasuk in Nechemiah. Then again, it's a day of celebration. Chayit V'Sashem Yimu Ischem. It's a day of rejoicing and celebration. So now we come to our question, which is the question of crying on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And based on what we've said so far, it's Halacha Shir, so it could be a little more interactive. We'll poll the audience. Based on what we've said so far, would you say that Rosh Hashanah is a day that crying during the Tfilos is appropriate? Or maybe crying during the Tfilos already is an expression, like the Pasuk says explicitly in the Chemin, that crying is too much. You're getting too caught up in the fear of the day. There has to be a certain confidence that the Jewish people have when we approach these days, like the Torah brings, b'shem the Medrash, a person who gets people who have hair should get haircuts before Rosh Hashanah, and right, and we have a festive meal, and there's a lot of simcha in the day. So is crying? Does crying cross the line? Same way the Hallel crosses the line. There's too much simcha. Would crying cross the line as being too much of an expression of sadness? What would you say? Yes.
How are we defining crying?
Oh, so now we have to really ask ourselves, does crying automatically mean sadness? Alright? Now, I think most of us normally would associate crying with sadness. I think the Gemara in the opening source in Daf Lamed and Gimel and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Yavava Yehem Lachom, is describing the mother of Sisera crying over the fear of the loss of her son. And I think generally that's how we think of crying. Right, but could we maybe redefine crying? Okay, that's an important piece, yeah.
What are we crying?
Right, what are we crying about? Are we crying? Okay.
It's not sad.
Right, so am I crying out of fear? Am I crying out of just like the awesomeness of... Right? You all know run is often translated as like fearful day, but it means awesome days. Awesome doesn't mean bad awesome. Awesome could mean intense and moving. And I move to tears.
No idea, that's the thing.
So Lav Dafka, that's a, you know, tears of... Again, the Chemist says don't cry tears of sadness. That much is clear. But are we talking about tears of sadness? Yeah.
Different parts of Rosh Hashanah have different moods.
Okay. The other thing is, who says Rosh Hashanah is one or the other, right? Maybe the day, this duality that we're seeing throughout the day expresses itself at different points of the day. A festive meal and maybe crying during davening, right? A posture of sadness and submission during davening. Yeah, John, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, I guess you can just justify the fact that it's not a simple seder. We can always go more. We can always be more than what we are right now. Since we're not at the highest point, then I guess it would be acceptable.
Okay.
Even though it's simple.
Okay. All right, so we have a famous tradition from the Arizal. Let's see what the Arizal said. The Arizal is quoted, it's really from the Shara Kavanos of the Arizal, in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, who recorded the teachings of the Arizal, but it's brought in the Bar Eitiv in Tavkuf Pei Dalet, where the Arizal has very strong lashonos for a person who doesn't cry in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Very critical of one who doesn't cry. Harizal nal livchos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. It's verse number 11. Va'amar ki mi she'ino bocha biyam eilu ein nishmaso tova v'shleima. They write about simcha shleima and simcha yisrael. Let's talk about whether your neshama is shalom. If you don't come to tears during the days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's an indication, said the Harizal, that something's off with your soul. If you're not inspired by these days to a couple of sincere tears, something is wrong with you. Your neshama is lacking. Okay, very strong lashonos. Very, very strong lashonos. And then the Arizal says that if you catch yourself crying at one point during the davening, it's very likely that that's the moment you're being judged in Shemayim, and that's why you're feeling so inspired, and you should, you know, tap into that moment and really make the push with your tefillos for good things in Shemayim. But that's the lashon of the Arizal, as quoted by the Be'er Heitev. The Mata Ephraim, which is one of the classic works on these simanim, on these areas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the halachos of these days, and the minhagim of these days, the Mata Ephraim goes so far as to say, in Tavkuf Pei Beis, in source number 12, Noagin Livchos Lohori Demos Metfilos Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Afke Shechol B'Shabbos. So this year you're wondering, hold on a second. This year not only is it Yom Kippur, but it's on Shabbos. And I've heard many stories of great rabbis whose relatives passed away on Shabbos, and they held themselves back from crying on Shabbos, because Shabbos is not a time for crying. And then Dafke after Shabbos, then the Tziv sat down and he started to cry. Right? He held himself back with great strength to follow the halacha that you can't cry on Shabbos. What about Yom Kippur Shechol Yos B'Shabbos? No, cry. You should cry like the Arizal. Rosh Hashanah, you should cry after Shechol B'Shabbos. That's what's recorded by Ephraim Zalman Margolius in the Mata Ephraim. Very interesting. So let's just pause for 1 second. What's the problem with crying on Shabbos? Again, we've heard such an idea that crying maybe ruins a little bit. Shabbos is not a din of simcha. Shabbos is a din of oneg, so is my oneg ruined by crying on Shabbos? Perhaps. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in related halachos, in Hilchos Shabbos, Reish Peches, in source 13, Osur Lisanus B'Shabbos Ad Vav Shabbos. Just like you're not allowed to fast, like Shulchan Aruch told us, you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos. V'afilu says the Ramal, lo me to espalel Osur, and you'll say, but I'm very firm. I learn after davening, I have a seder after davening, and only then I get home, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I sit down to my Shabbos meal, I haven't had anything to eat, that's considered fasting. You fast past Chatzos, that's already a problem of fasting. And therefore, says the Ramah, I don't care if you're learning, I don't care if you're davening. That's not in the spirit of Shabbos. Continues the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beit, Yesh Omrim Sha'odim Shemazik Lo Achila. Let's say you have a terrible stomach ache, and it's more pleasurable for you not to eat, because eating actually hurts you on Shabbos. The az oneg hu shalo le'echo, then lo yochal. Then you do not have to eat. Because again, the goal of the day, as clarified by the Sif, is that what Shabbos should be a day of oneg. So if you get your oneg from fasting, if that's better for you physically, if it'll make your day more pleasurable, then gezunt tehet, says the Shulchan Aruch, you should fast. Says the Ramah, v'chein mi sheyesh lo oneg im yivche. A person who gets pleasure from crying, if he feels that his oneg is enhanced by crying, he's allowed to cry on Shabbos. Now this is already a questionable psak. The Taz comes along, in source 14, and says, I'm not so convinced that this Ramah makes sense. You're in pain on Shabbos, and now you want to cry to remove the pain. So is that really the crying that's allowed on Shabbos? Do we have any precedent for crying on Shabbos? So the Taz quotes a Medrash. He quotes an Agadah. It's really a Zohar, where Rabbi Akiva was crying on Shabbos, and he said to his students, I'm allowed to cry because it's pleasurable for me. I enjoy crying. So says the Taz at the end of the first line, V'nira li, I don't think that's comparable. Why was Rabbi Akiva crying on Shabbos? If you look in the Zohar, it tells you why Rabbi Akiva was crying on Shabbos. Da'ayinu shemei rovd ve'kuso ba'karash baruch, who we're starting to define again, different types of crying. because of his intense dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zolgin Einav Demos. He was crying out of just the intense, wow, Shabbos Kodesh. And it brought Rabbi Akiva to tears. Shekein Matzina Rabbi Akiva Bazar Chadash, the Zohar records, Shayabocha Ma'od Ba'amru Shira Shirim. Bashar Yadda Lehechan Advar Magim, when he would recite Shira Shirim, which is the love story of Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Akiva would cry. It wasn't Eicha, so what was he crying about? He was crying when he saw how much Hashem loves us. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. That's something to cry about. Tears of great joy, of great hislavus, of great dveikus. Sometimes a person who's davening with great kavana starts to cry. Those type of tears, says the Taz, I can understand why they'd be permitted on Shabbos. Aval k'dei sheyetzei atzar. To get rid of the pain that a person feels, mimenu, shezacha ramah with the ramah paskin, hu tmua. This is very strange to me. Dimkein kol mishem itzdarchas v'shalom yivkem shabbos. Then anyone who has any difficulty should spend all Shabbos crying, and that's not going to ruin Shabbos. So the ramah says, well, it removes the person's tzar. Says the Taz, but those are not the types of tears that we have a precedent for on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Taz in source 15. And then he quotes that there are those who disagree. That there are those who maintain the position of the Ramah, in the last line where it's bolded. He says, Aval de Elia Rabba, the Tosefes Shabbos. That's what that abbreviation stands for, Tosefes Shabbos. I remember the first time I saw this Sefer Tosefes Shabbos. I was in Moresh HaKolel. This goes back to about 13 years ago, after I got back from Israel. It was the year after Shana Aleph. I went to Moresh HaKolel for a month. And I remember I had seen, like in the Mishnah Berurah, which I probably had learned for the first time, Shana Aleph, I had seen in the Mishnah Berurah sometimes quotes this Achron called Tosefes Shabbos. But I'd never seen the Sefer. I didn't know that it was like a real Sefer. I remember Rabbi Willig had a big crate of Sfarim, and I was looking at his Sfarim, and I saw the Sefer Tosefes Shabbos. And I was like so excited. Oh, that's a real... There actually is a book called Tosefes Shabbos. So it says the Eli Rabbin, the Tosefes Shabbos, some of the great Achronim, he tiru kevin shayideh b'chiyasa yarviyachlo. The Eli Rabbin, the Tosefes Shabbos, passing like the Ramah, that if it makes you feel better, then it's okay. If you're sad on Shabbos, you don't have to, again, not like all those famous stories that we've heard of great tzaddikim who held back their tears on Shabbos when they found out about a relative who passed away because the basic halacha is you're not supposed to cry on Shabbos. The Ramah says if it makes you feel better, if it helps you get over your personal anguish and allows you to then get back to enjoying Shabbos, that's also part of the oneg of Shabbos. That relieving of the pain is part of the oneg Shabbos. But b'chol ofen, if we come back to the Arizal, again, the Arizal says that tears on Rosh Hashanah are not only appropriate, but again, it says a lot about the very nature of the person, the neshama of that person. If you don't cry on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, chas v'shalom, you're not tapped into the day. That's what we find in the writings of the Arizal. On the other end of the spectrum, if you look in the practices of the Vilna Gaon, as recorded in the Sefer Maaseh Rav, the Vilna Gaon was adamantly opposed to people crying on Rosh Hashanah. He writes very clearly, based on the Pasuk in Ezra, source 16, in the Maaseh Rav Siman Reish Zayin, Ve'ein livchos b'Rosh Hashanah k'muvur be'Ezra al tivku. Ezra says, don't cry. And it was Rosh Hashanah. So that's it. Open chart case for a halachas, like the Vilna Gaon. Ein livchos b'Rosh Hashanah. And not only that, the Vilna Gaon says, some people on Rosh Hashanah use very scary negunim. The tunes of the davening are very frightful. I don't hold of that, says the Vilna Gaon. He said, I want that the tunes, the frat, the kaddish that's sung at the end of the davening, at the end of the musaf, there has to be a certain confidence that we've just petitioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we blew the shofar, we davened our hearts out, and we're confident the kaddish, the song of the kaddish, should reflect that confidence that we have. So many achronim at this point say that there's a machlokas between the Arizal and the Gra. Now I'm sure many of us are not comfortable making a machlokas between the Arizal and the Gra for some very obvious reasons. All right, number one, the Gra had the utmost respect for Pnimius HaTorah. The Gra spent most of his life writing on the deeper areas of Torah, as much as we have the Gra's writings in Halacha, and he was certainly a Baki Benigla, he was also a Baki Benista. And he was certainly would tremble before the words of the Arizal. Even more so, flip it the other way. It's mashma from the way the girl presents it. Ain't live close to Rosh Hashanah. You should have cried Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because there's a pasuk in Ezra. Ki ilu what? The Arizal didn't know that there was such a pasuk in Ezra. The Arizal never read through Sefer Ezra and Nechemiah. He never finished his. He dropped out when he got to Malachim in his Parakadei of Nach, and never made it to Ezra and Nechemiah. He didn't know that there was a pasuk that says don't cry on Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, many achronim are trying very diligently to reconcile these the worlds of the Arizal and the Gra. that somehow, if we can come up with a new definition of crying, or decide at what point of the day it's appropriate to cry or not to cry, maybe we can come up with a healthy balance that actually satisfies both the Shita of the Arizal and the Grah. So I'll share with you a few. Again, there are more, but I'll share with you a few Achronim who discuss this, and again, work to say that there's no machlokas, there's no stira, there's no contradiction between the Grah and the Arizal. I've been spending some time learning the Tshuvas of Rav Avadya Yosef. So in the second volume of the Echav Das, he has a tshuva on this topic. We'll just read the question, and then we'll jump to where it's bolded. Ha'im roi l'ispal, on source 17, Ha'im roi l'ispal et tefilas Rosh Hashanah b'toch simcha v'chedva. Again, what should the posture be when we daven on Rosh Hashanah? Should it be one of simcha and great joy? Or b'toch simcha v'chedva, kefi shenamar ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, o mishum cherad asadin, or because of the trepidation of the day, roi l'ispal b'vechia, kishari dim alo ninalu, and all the more so, as Chazal tell us, the gate of tears are not locked, even if the gates of tefillah, according to many opinions of Chazal, the gates of tefillah are sealed and closed, but the gates of tears are open. So maybe dafka, the best way to daven is to daven amidst tears. So he quotes the Arizal, and he quotes the Vilna Gaon, and again, what appears to be superficially as a contradiction, says Chacham Avadya Yosef Zatzal, where it's bolded about seven lines down, V'nira she'ein stira l'diri ha'ari mimikra mafurash menachem. It can't be that the Arizal gets knocked out by an explicit pasuk in Tanakh. She'af she'ein la'adam, look what he says, look how he's magdir, the tears of Rosh Hashanah that are appropriate. She'af she'ein la'adam lahevi atzma l'idei b'chiyah v'atzvus, while one should not work intentionally to bring himself to tears and sadness in the kedusha sachag, ava, ha'mis o'er me'atzma livchos b'tfilos of machmas islavus the kedusha, lerod ve'kus of a kavanasa b'tfilos yavon aron, ein b'zeh mishum iser klal. But if you're inspired by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you start to tear up, then ein achanami, that's not asra at all. To try to spend the day making yourself cry on a day of simcha doesn't make sense. But if you reach a state of dvekas, and that's what the Arizal said, if you're tapped into the day in a deep way, if you're prepared for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you understand the significance of the day, not only the emas hadin, but the kirvas elokim that a person feels during these days, how could you not be inspired at some point, to shed a few tears? And that's what he says, Behu Adin, right after it's bold. Behu Adin l'chol adam shebechiyah nofela salam me'eilav b'yam n'ram. If the tears come about on their own, ayyadei atfilos hakadoshos shema'oros rishpe'eh shahavis ka, bebechinas adjutel shahavis ola me'aleh. If it's happening on its own, v'chein meduya kalashon b'shar kavam. He says, if you look at the Arizal, that's actually the lashon of the Arizal. Shebechiyah nofela salam. Don't force yourself to cry, but a person who's overcome by tears, aval lehevi atzmo lidei b'chiyah ayyadei kol bechi, but to try to make yourself cry, that's not what fits the theme of the day. And therefore he says where it's underlined, Nimsa Shahariva, Grami Vilna, Mar Amachada, Umar Amachada, Velo Plig. And really, they're both approaching the same sugya, but from different perspectives. The Gra is saying, don't force yourself to cry. And we'll see that the Gra was critical of those Chazanin who Dafka tried to, you know, fake tears to get people to cry. That's not the spirit of the day. But if a person has a real hergish of the day, and on his own he comes to a place of islavus, of dveikus, with a kadosh baruch hu, and memela he comes to tears, there's nothing usher about that. In fact, it's very much in line with the day. The Rav Avadya concludes the tshuva by quoting a different svara that he rejects. He does not like it. From the Sefer Koheles Yitzchak, which is an interesting sefer. I have the sefer at home. It's an interesting sefer written by a Rav from Vilna. He was a Talmud of the Beis HaLevi. And in the back, he has a drush l'Rosh Hashanah. And in that drush l'Rosh Hashanah, he quotes from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who says the following. It's a very Muslim movement type of thinking. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, a person who always cries, if you're the type of person who it's very easy for you to cry, then you shouldn't cry on Rosh Hashanah. You should do the opposite. Because if you cry, maybe they're not real tears. You shouldn't cry. A person who it's very difficult to cry, if you're not such an emotional person, then you dafka should get emotional Rosh Hashanah. That's how Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wanted to explain it. That maybe, you could say, the Arizal is talking about a person who it's not so easy to cry and brings himself to sincere tears, but a person who cries automatically, who always cries, shouldn't cry. Rav Avadya says, this is a little bit strange to me, I don't think that's the point of the day, to just do the opposite of what your norm is. And therefore he says, Mechilas Kvot Tifarto, I reject the Svara of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Maybe it's an interesting idea in Drush, but he doesn't think that carries weight in the Halacha. And Rav Avadya concludes in the final five lines, in the last paragraph, Hamur Mikola Amor, based on what we have said, She'ein Livchos Rosh Hashanah, ideally, again, there's no obligation to cry in Rosh Hashanah. You shouldn't feel that you have to cry on Rosh Hashanah. V'atfilas Rosh Hashanah yesh la'omer b'simcha v'nihima kadosha. The tefillah should reflect a certain simcha of the day with great kavana. Ki tefillah below kavana k'guf below neshama u'mikol makom. Adam shemisor me'atzmo b'chiyah mispal b'demal shlish. But a person who on his own is brought to tears, ein b'zeh shum chashash iser klal v'tavol alav bracha. And the main thing says, Rav Avadia, all our tefillahs should be answered however we choose to daven. But again, conclusion of Rav Avadia, the basic posture of the day is one of simcha. The tefillahs have to be recited with joy. And again, if you're inspired by it, if you're captivated by the day, and you come to tears, there's certainly nothing wrong with it. Again, it fits with the words of the Arizal, that the tears come on their own. It doesn't fit so much with the Arizal, that if you don't cry, then something's wrong with you. So I guess we'd have to, you know, not force it, but at least make sure that we're ready to be inspired in such a way that that we will naturally, on our own, come to tears. Rav Sternbach, who's a descendant, a direct descendant of the Vilna Gaon, so you would think that he would be inclined to side with the Shita of the Vilna Gaon. Shalom Aleichem. You grew some hair. I lost some hair. Sweet. Good stuff. I'm great. Thank God. Thank you for coming. Rav Sternbach is a direct descendant of the Grof, who's the Rav of the Grof Shul in Har Nof. So you think, again, if anyone's going to side with the Grof, Rav Sternbach in the second volume of Chuas on Agos, Simon Reish Samaches, in source 18, talks about crying Rosh Hashanah. He quotes the Ariza, he quotes his great relative, the Grof, and he says in the second paragraph, L'dati advarim pshutim abururim, there's no contradiction here. Again, crying during davening is absolutely appropriate. And he quotes a Zohar about the importance of tears during tefillah. Continuing where it's bolded. If I'm crying because I feel close to Hashem Rosh Hashanah, that's great. That's a great way to get your tefillahs answered. If you're crying because you're scared that Hashem is coming to strike me down, that's not the right type of tears. And that's what the Gro is talking about, says Rav Moshe Sternbach. That's not what Ezra and Nehemiah were talking about. Ezra and Nehemiah told the people, stop crying because you're scared that God hates you because you're a bunch of sinners who never heard the Torah before. That type of tear is a contradiction to the day. To the chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. But if a person's crying mitoch eslavus, again, this is the right type of tears that a person could have. In source 20, the Munkacher again assumes like this as well, slightly different lashonos, and the Munkacher writes as follows. Again, it can't be that the Arizal didn't know a pasuk explicit in Tanakh. Things that a tinoko shall be sraven, that a little kid in school shall already know. Upipshitas. It must be that when the pasuk says in Nehemiah, Al tisablu, al tivku. Again, this is the Munkacher writing in the Sefer of Chasidus, in his Mamar Manchodesh Tishrei. But he says it has to be that when Nehemiah told the people, don't cry, Hainu b'derech avelus v'yeyush chasvashem. If you're crying because you're scared on Rosh Hashanah, that's not right. If you're crying because you're giving up hope and you feel this is the year that Hashem is going to strike me down, that's not the right type of tears. Zevavadai osur b'Rosh Hashanah. And that's what Nehemiah said to them. Al te'atzvu. If your tears are amidst sadness, then that's not the right type of tears. But a person who cries, mitoch tefillah, ubechi v'tachnunim, those type of tefillos where he's confident that Hashem will provide for him and he's just in awe of the day, again, these are the right types of tears for a person to cry. The truth is, if you look in the Haftorah of the day, it seems pashut that way. In the Shiur Misyonah Ba'alach, which is a parish on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says, just look at the Haftorah of both days of Rosh Hashanah, and you'll see people crying. So how can you tell me Rosh Hashanah is not a day for crying? He brings a beautiful raya. He says, Chana is crying on the first day of Rosh Hashanah in the Haftorah. He brings it in source 21. But Takam Chana, v'himaras nefesh, Chana was upset, v'tispala Hashem, uvachotivkeh. So to tell me that crying has no place in Rosh Hashanah doesn't seem to make sense. Again, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Haftorah from Yirmiyah, Bivichi yavo v'tachanunim ovileim, with tears I will bring them, and with tachanunim I will bring them, I will restore them. So again, it talks about being restored to a closest to a Kadosh Baruch Hu amidst tears. So again, we have to somehow reconcile the Shita of the Grah And the Arizal, and again, I think it's a very good and balanced approach. That on the one hand, yes, it's a scary day, Rosh Hashanah. At the same time, a person can't be overwhelmed by the pachad of the day to cry, and rather a person has to try to tap into the chedvas Hashem imuuschem, the simchas hayom, and the kirvas alokos, and that should also inspire a person to cry tears of great closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to just end with a few thoughts from Sifrei Chassidus, which again, just remind us that this day really has this duality to it. Rav Leibel Eger says, let's go back to the shofar. We said in source number one that the shofar is all about crying. Yom Tshuva Yelachem, Yom Yevava Yelachem. Writes Rav Leibel Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, in Rosh Hashanah Tafresh Chav Ches, in source 22. You'll notice that when we blow the shofar, it's true. Yom Tshuva Yelachem with the Torah, the Gemara derives from Sukkim, that every trua, every broken crying sound has to be surrounded in front of it and behind it by what? By its tekiah. By a long straight sound. By the clear sound of the tekiah. What's the idea? What's the idea, says Rav Leibel in source 22? Inyan atrua v'apshuta lefanav l'achuv. Why is it that every broken sound has to be surrounded by the clear sound of the tekiah? It's true. The Torah defines it as a yom trua. The Torah also calls it a chag, which implies it's a day of simcha. The essence of the day is Yom Tshuva. It's a day that a Jew feels broken inside. The different cries of the shofar crying. And yet if you look at the refrain throughout the davening, it's with a confidence that Hashem is going to judge us positively and favorably. That we're going to be zochah to a year of bracha and atzlacha and all good things. And says Rav Leibel, that's exactly this duality of the shofar. You can't just say, it can't be that when the Torah says Yom Tshuva Yelachem, that it's just a day of complete brokenness. That's part of the day. That feeling of that humility, that humbled, bent over position that we saw in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Vav, in the second source, right? Or the bending of the shofar. As we pass in Halacha L'Maaseh, the ideal shofar, the shofar shal ayil that we use on Rosh Hashanah. But at the same time, it has to be surrounded by the clear and straight, confident sound of the tekiah, which reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wants to do good for us. It's not a day that it has to be either or. It's a day that somehow we live on such a plane, a spiritual plane, where we're able to reconcile these two opposing feelings. That it could be a day of simcha and a day of shivron lev at the same time. Rav Nachman and Sichos Haran, in Os Chafal, in source 23. Srichim liyos sameach Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Nachman says very clearly, I want that people need to be b'simcha Rosh Hashanah. And he follows it up in the very next line, gam srichim livchos Rosh Hashanah. And you also need to cry. No, so which is it? It's a day of joy, it's a day of tears, and the answer is it's both. It's both. And again, a tzaddik on the level of Rabbi Nachman didn't see it as a contradiction of terms. And again, even the poskim were trying to reconcile the Arizal and the Gra. It's not a contradiction. It's about balancing the simchas hayom with the cherdas hayom. And that's really the ideal state of a Jew. To be able to somehow strike a balance where I can be b'simcha and I can be with emas hadin at the very same time. Ivdu as Hashem b'yira v'gilu b'raot, the pasuk in Tehillim, at the very beginning of Tehillim, in Perek Beis, in source 24. To serve Hashem with yira, with fear, and yet to rejoice with trembling. To rejoice with trembling. What does that mean, to rejoice with trembling? The Gemara in Brachos asks on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Mai v'gilu b'ra'ada, Amr of Adab bar Masna, Amr Rabba, b'makum gila sham te'irada. I think that's the best description of Rosh Hashanah. B'makum gila sham te'irada. In a time of great joy, it's also a time where we tremble. And it's not a contradiction. A person who gets what the day is about understands his gilu b'ra'ada. I always said I wanted to hang up in my house. I don't usually do pictures on my source sheets, on the Maya Makomos. But I thought this pictorial representation of today's shir would be a good way to remember this shir. There's two pictures that I always think about, of the Friedrich Rebbe, the Sixth Lubavitch Rebbe. There's the picture on the right, which is a more rare picture. The more famous picture is the one on the left, right, where you see that stern face, that intense face of Kavana, and the intensity, in his eyebrows, you can see it. And then, on the other hand, you have that picture, that jolly picture of him smiling, mamish from ear to ear. And again, somehow on Rosh Hashanah, we have to take these two worlds and blend them together in this very difficult way. But for a Jew, it's not a contradiction. A godly person understands that it's not a contradiction to somehow reconcile these two feelings. When Rav Eliel Lopayan came to Slobodka, he once came to give a fiery Musar Shmos. And the altar of Slobodka was furious. And he got over to him afterwards and he said, how dare you, don't you realize the Talmidim of Slobodka are the finest Talmidim in the world? How dare you have the chutzpah to get up and rebuke them in this way? So Rav Hunter, who was a Talmud of Slabatka at the time, went over to the altar of Slabatka, and said, Rebbe, Nechilas Kvod HaRav, I saw you during the Musar Shmuz, and you were smiling the whole time. I saw how captivated you were by the Musar Shmuz. And then you went over to Rav Eldia afterwards, and said, how dare you give such a Musar Shmuz in this yeshiva? How dare you think the Bachar in this yeshiva would need such a Musar Shmuz? And yet I saw you nodding along, you love the Musar Shmuz. So which is it? And the altar of Slabatka said to Rav Hunter, and saying again that very much reflects the Hashkafas HaChaim of the Alter Slabatka and Rav Hunter himself in later years. Alter Slabatka said, a thing in its opposite, something in the very opposite of it, are themselves part of the way of God. A contradiction is itself part of the way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yes, I can enjoy the Musar Shmuz on the one hand, and at the same time feel that it was inappropriate. Yes, I can look so much forward to Rosh Hashanah with a Simchas HaChaim, a pair of festive meal, and at the same time still come to davening and be able to cry tears because of the intensity of the day. Ibdus Hashem b'simcha, Ibdus Hashem b'yira, v'gilu b'rada, v'makum gila sham te'irada. And I'll conclude just with the words of Rabbeinu Yonah on that Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Rabbeinu Yonah in Source 26 describes almost exactly like we saw in Shulchan Aruch. Have a festive meal, but don't get carried away, like we saw in Shulchan Aruch Tavkav Tzadi Zayin. Says Rabbeinu Yonah on that Gemara in Brachos, v'gilu b'rada, b'makum gila sham te'irada, tam adavar, kedei shalo yimshach mitoch ha-simcha le'tanuge olam, v'yishkach inyanei abori. A person has to be careful at all points that his simcha never takes away from the awe that a person has to have in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Al-Kain, tzarech la'arvev ze'im ze'k, kedei shia al-kav ha-mutza. A person has to somehow find a way to strike a balance between these two opposing forces. U'pashtei dekra, the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk, Kachu, Sha'ach al Pishetzel Basar Vedama Yirva Simcha Im Dabar Vehifucho. Even though in our world we normally think of Simcha and Yira as opposites, Shebeshasha Adam Befachim Izulasa Hu Ome Nirta Vedoeg, Avalakarish Baruch Hu Eino Kain. But like the Alter Slabatka said to Rav Hutner, a person who's godly is able to reconcile a thing in its opposite. He's able to live in both worlds. From a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective, if you want to have the ideal Rosh Hashanah perspective, you're able to somehow tap into both. You're able to live with the Trua and able to live with the Kiyah. You're able to live with the Ivdu as Hashem B'Yira and at the same time, Ivdu as Hashem B'Simcha. That's the balance that we try to strike during the day. So Mirtz Hashem will come this Motzei Shabbos to the Slichos. Those of us who are not Sfaradi and have not yet begun Slichos with the famous B'Motzei Menucha, Kidamnucha Tchila, as we begin the Slichos. And what do we say in the very first Slich on the final source? Zochlim V'Roedim Miyom Valecha. We're shaking and trembling from the day that's upon us. Cholim Kimavkira Me'evras Masa Echa. We're shaking Kimavkira, like a pregnant woman about to give birth. Like a pregnant woman about to give birth. Explains the Sefer Ma'or Anshal Yisrael, it's the back of the Yismach Yisrael from Alexander, in his writings on Slichos, and he says it even better by the Haggadah Shal Pesach, actually, in Ozayin Gimel. He says every year when the Jewish people come to Rosh Hashanah, it's like a woman giving birth. When a woman gives birth, even if she's given birth before, she's scared. Even if she's had a child before, but it's a very intense moment. And she's scared. She hopes that her body has the strength to handle what lies ahead. And she's trembling from such a thing. But at the same time, she never for a second loses sight of the simcha. That awesome, awesome joy that she's going to feel when that child emerges into this world. That's what we say in the Slichos. That we're zochlim v'roedim yom b'lecha. Beautiful words of the Yismach Yisrael, the Moran Shal Yisrael. He says so beautifully. It's like we've never experienced Rosh Hashanah before. We have to come to Rosh Hashanah with a certain freshness, with a fear. I don't know what's going to be. And at the same time, we're able to have that confidence of Gilu B'ra'adah, to have that joy amidst our trepidation. And Amir Tzashem, each one of us will be zochah to strike that balance in the coming days of the Yom Noram.